Welcome to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Nicola runs transformational breakthrough programs for individuals and couples and has several award-winning audio programs. For details, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Please note, places are limited and are available on first-come, first-served basis.
Hi and welcome, this is Nicola Beer. Today I'm going to be exploring cheating addiction and sex addiction. This is a two-part series. In this first podcast, we're going to be looking at cheating addiction, what causes it, what are the different reasons, and the difference between cheating addiction and sex addiction. And then in the second podcast, I'm going to be sharing some tools and some tips and what you can do if you are suffering from cheating addiction, if you recognize this in yourself and you want to heal and change your behavior, you want to support your partner in recovering from it, and also what to do if you have found out recently that your husband, wife, girlfriend or boyfriend has been cheating on you over and over again, and you're feeling shattered and you're not sure what to believe or what to do, and it's overwhelming you right now. So that will be coming up soon. And in this one, we're really going to look at addiction. So addiction comes in many forms. Some people are addicted to substances or alcohol. Others can be addicted to shopping, gambling, relationships, exercise, or the internet and social media. Over the past 10 plus years, I've noticed that cheating on a spouse can also become an addiction. I've worked with many men and women who are addicted to online sexting, where they pick up their phone anytime they feel lonely, bored, tired, stressed, and it fills that gap. It boosts their self-esteem, they get a high, and then repeat the behavior again and again. Despite being caught, despite loving their partner and wanting to hold on to their marriage, they find an uncontrollable urge to get attention and to get that high from sexting someone else and feeling desired. They need to feel desired, often they share with me, or alive, as one woman put it. Other men that I have supported to break free have found themselves addicted to seeing prostitutes, massages with happy endings, or porn, where again, they know that it is wrong and often feel guilty after. But once that regret and pain wears off, they get stuck in the same cycle, like a drug addict or binge drinking alcoholic. Eric was having an affair with a woman in his office. He would book a hotel, they would meet up and have sex and then leave. He said he would feel horrible after and would tell himself that this needs to stop. But after a few weeks, they would end up sexting, boosting each other's ego, and then repeat the pattern, book the hotel, and then again, Eric would go into the guilt, the shame, the regret, not feeling happy with himself and the way he was living his life. Eric deeply loved his wife and three children. He couldn't understand why he was doing it and wanted to get to the root of the behavior so he could stop it and give his wife an explanation. She also really wanted to understand why. How could somebody love you and then have sex with someone else? Was her question for me. In order to get to the root, it's important to do individual breakthrough work where we're able to go deep into the person's personal history, uncover exactly what was behind the compulsion, what is behind the behavior, the feelings, the thinking that drives someone to cheat despite huge detrimental consequences. Caroline was in a similar cycle. She would go to great lengths to get male attention. She would flirt like crazy, wearing revealing clothes, talk openly about her sexual desires, give out compliments to the men around her, and engage in texting them. She never had sex with them, but talked about what it would be like and sent semi-naked photos to them. She, like many cheating addicts, craved attention and to be desired. In my experience working with porn addiction, sex addiction, and cheating addiction, there is always a deeper need it's filling, a void and emptiness, a sense of not being wanted or good enough. This needs to be healed at the root. It needs to be healed and cleared, and then after that, new strategies and plans put in place. Out of the 70 plus people who have done my breakthrough intensive for cheating addiction, porn or sex addiction, nearly all of them have experienced rejection, neglect, abandonment, heavy criticism, or abuse as a child, be it from parents, other family members, other kids at school. And that is why I believe so many cheaters struggle to identify why they cheat. They can't answer that question. They say, I don't know, because it's often so unconscious. Who would think that you're cheating as an adult is connected to an angry or absent parent? Until you uncover the layers and the feelings and the benefits that a person gets from cheating, understand the drive, it's very difficult to make sense of it. If you feel not good enough as a child, you may start to get attention by people pleasing, start to get attention by being a high achiever, start to get attention by being aggressive, start to get attention by whatever it is. And then that pattern of getting attention, getting validation from others, is hardwired into the way that you feel good enough. This is what makes you feel alive, loved, wanted. And you'll seek constant reinforcement of being wanted. This is true for many of those that I've supported. Dr. Gabor Maté is a global expert on addiction. He has worked in the field for decades and states that all addictions are a reaction to other underlying problems in someone's life. Dr. Maté believes that childhood trauma lies at the root of addiction, putting our maladaptive behaviours in the context of early childhood trauma is more useful than labelling someone as having an addictive personality. And I've definitely noticed that with those that I've supported. As I mentioned, out of the 70 plus people that have done the breakthrough program to free themselves from addictive cheating patterns, there has been an alcoholic parent, a workaholic parent, a child going to boarding school early, a child moving around schools, a child having to be responsible for their siblings and taking on a parent role early on. This has a massive impact on a person's psyche. In some form, it's abandonment. And that abandonment in early childhood is a trauma that creates low self-esteem. We're naturally all born with a fear of being abandoned, a fear of being left, rejected, not wanted. And that creates that low self-esteem. And then a person needs to get that validation. They need to create ways to get attention. And some children get attention by being high achievers, being great at sports, others more disruptive patterns, like not going to school, being aggressive and angry, bullying other children, misbehaving, being loud, withdrawing, not eating. It can be manifested in many different ways, but at the core of that low self-esteem is pain and hurt. And to boost self-esteem, validation, being wanted, being desired, can lead somebody to cheat or become addicted to sex. Because nowhere really are you as seen and as wanted as in sex. It's so intimate. And that person is looking at your whole body, is with you. And so for some people, they feel really validated during sex. So they use sex to get attention. They use their body to get attention, to feel that they are wanted. Indulging in an addictive behavior of choice becomes addictive because it provides a temporary relief. A relief from the pain or the loneliness or the boredom or the escape from reality or from not feeling wanted, whatever it is. And it's harmful because, of course, a person can't give it up. The type of addiction, Dr. Gabor Maté says, isn't the issue. Instead of looking at the addiction, he really believes that we need to look at why does this person have pain? Why does this person need other people to validate them, for them to feel good, for them to function? What pain has that person gone through to be using sex, porn, affairs to get that high escapism validation? Every single one, 100% of the 70 plus people that have done the cheating addiction breakthrough with me, it's around about 74, I have noticed that all of them have a people-pleasing personality trait. With that often comes lying, some just white lies, some avoiding the truth, avoiding conflict. But people-pleasing was something they all had in common. They needed to be liked. They needed others to like them. They needed others to think highly of them. Most of them worried what other people think of them. And many avoided telling the truth if they felt it was going to hurt someone. They would brush over it, skip over it, not address things. Sexual abuse is sadly often a trigger to sex addiction and can be also cheating addiction. The person who has been abused, especially if done at a young age, understands their body in a different way to other people. They understand that their body pleases other people, that their body is a way to get attention, that their body is wanted by someone else. And then they identify with their body, and then they use their body to be seen. Often men and women who have gone through that pain identify themselves as being overly sexual at a very young age. Sadly, they often blame themselves for being bad, rather than seeing that they didn't have a choice. This was done to them. As a result of that abuse, they then became sexual. They adapted to this way of thinking because that's what they was taught. They didn't choose to be the way that they are. And definitely self-forgiveness is needed. Occasionally, people can pick up the habit of cheating addiction and sexual addiction if they're exposed to sex at an early age, just by understanding their parents' views and wishes and desires around sex. For example, if a child sees that their parents are arguing over an affair, or if they see or hear their parents having sex or bringing over different sexual partners if they're single, then it can become accepted as normal. And low self-esteem in childhood, of course, doesn't have anything to do with the parents. It can be moving schools, bullying, not looking the way that you wanted to look, feeling that you were maybe different to other children. All of this, of course, can impact. For some, cheating addiction comes from heartbreak in relationships. Their first, second, third relationship, being cheated on, being rejected sexually, being left for another person can affect self-esteem, of course. And then having those painful events happen, they go on and cheat themselves. They repeat what was done to them in future relationships. sometimes as an unconscious revenge, sometimes because they believe it's going to happen to them, so they'll cheat first. Sometimes it's because they can't bear the thought of being alone and being abandoned again, so they need to keep backup options. Because they've had their self-esteem shattered, they haven't done therapy, exercises, whatever it is to build that, they create a huge desire to be seen, wanted by others. Some people become a cheating or sex addict because they are used to chaos. They grew up in a household where there was shouting, screaming, drama, perhaps a parent who was really loving and kind one minute, and then the next minute, angry and stressed, a Jekyll and Hyde personality. They never knew what they were going to get. Some days, one thing they did would be laughed at and praised. Another day, that same thing would be disciplined and sent to their room. And they would just not have any calmness, peace in the house. They were on high alert, wondering, what is it going to be like when I go home today? What is it going to be like this weekend? And they therefore become addicted to excitement, to chaos, to drama. They don't like silence. They don't like peace. They don't like not a lot going on. It feels uncomfortable. So they create drama. This can also happen if a child believes, I'm bad. I'm a bad girl. I'm a bad boy. I do bad things. This deeper belief that I am a bad person, the person then creates in their adulthood life reasons why they're bad, reasons why they are no good. They have to live up to that bad image that they have of themselves. And that can be through any different kind of addiction. So why are affairs addictive? For many, the rush of adrenaline, the excitement, the uncertainty, the newness associated with cheating can be a hook that people find hard to resist. Having affairs leaves people wanting more because it can also affect brain chemistry. When a new person enters their life, in whatever form that is, there is a rush of dopamine to their brain, making them feel good. Once the rush wears off, they look for more and create a loop. A loop where their brain gets wired to the excitement and to the rush of the chemicals that feel good, and then they want more and more and more. Whenever that person goes through a stressful time, rejection, loneliness, boredom, their mind will say, cheat, use porn, masturbate, go and have sex, and the habit forms. Just like for those with a drinking problem, the mind tells them, have a drink. A drink will take the edge off. A drink will make you happy. A drink will help you sleep. You deserve it. The cheater gets obsessive thoughts to cheat or to use porn as a fix or sex in a way to change the way they feel. So often just removing the porn, the affair partner, the dating or social media app is not enough. The thinking needs to be changed and understanding where the trigger, the root cause behind the behavior. And that's what I really love to do. And as I mentioned earlier, in the 70 plus breakthrough sessions that I've done, it was overwhelming to me to see how loving and kind and caring the cheating addicts I supported were. They were genuinely good people. They genuinely wanted to do good for others. And in all other aspects of their life, they were helping others. They were responsible. They were telling the truth. Now, of course, I am sure that there are some people addicted to cheating who don't care about their partner, or who want to end the relationship, or who are selfish, or who have a sense of entitlement, which I'm going to talk about as well today. For those that I have supported, though, they have found themselves trapped in the cheating grip. They don't understand their own behaviour. They often can't say why because they just don't understand it themselves. They're confused. And of course, they wouldn't unless they are listening to this or have done some deeper work, link it to previous relationships or childhood and different other causes, or they wouldn't understand that their thinking creates the compulsion as well. They are often baffled. How could I do this again? How, when I know the consequences, could I do this? And when they promised their husband or wife that they would never do it again, they really meant it. They really never wanted to engage in the same behavior again. They really did feel guilty. Many were disgusted by what they have done. And yet they found themselves doing the same thing months or years later. And I really want to make clear that even though, in my experience, I definitely believe there is such a thing as a cheating addiction, it doesn't mean that the person shouldn't be able to take the responsibility for what they have done. They need to take responsibility for their actions. The addict needs to address the deeper issues beneath the compulsion, admit their weakness, and make every effort to repair the relationship and change their habits by finding healthy ways to manage life. And in the next podcast, I'm going to be sharing some tips for what you can do to repair the damage cheating addiction and sex addiction creates. And if this is something that you're experiencing right now because your partner has cheated on you more than once, then I'm also going to be sharing tips for you to help yourself through this very painful time. In my experience, all of those that I have helped have a pain, have a hidden sense of inadequacy that often their partners sometimes don't even detect. They will say to me, "No, that's not him, that's not her. She's really confident. He's got loads of self-esteem. He's very successful." And that doesn't mean that they don't have low self-esteem. Of course, we can put up a front to disguise how we feel about ourselves. We can become a very helpful, responsible person and look like all of that is driven from a love to help people, when actually it might be driven from a need for validation, for example. Of course, this doesn't mean that the person can carry on calling it an addiction and saying sorry each time. Sorry is not enough. There has to be a willingness to get to the deeper issues, to understand why they do what they do, to find healthy ways to get the excitement, approval, attention that they seek. It's so important to make these changes in mindset, behavior, and coping strategies, as of course it hurts not only their partner, their family, it really hurts the addict. It doesn't feel good to be lying, to believe that you're weak, selfish, to carry the guilt, to feel shame, remorse, regret. All of that makes the self-esteem even lower. And of course, for those that have unprotected sex, that is also putting your own health at risk and your partner's. One of the things that I often get asked is, what does porn addiction or sex addiction or cheating addiction look like? How to know if I am addicted or my partner is addicted? Well, an addiction is where you use something to fix your feelings. Let's say you feel anxiety, stress, loneliness, frustration, boredom, and you then cheat to numb your feelings, to change it, to escape the pressures of life. So it's used as a tool to cope with life. The addiction then helps you, it gives you whatever you need to escape from those feelings, and then the person gets that chemical change, feels good in that moment, a rush of excitement or energy, whatever it is, and then they become dependent because they then need to do it again, and then their mind takes them to that behavior again and again. Often people will say to me, "I can't resist the temptation. I have an uncontrollable urge." Sex addiction, according to Dr. Michael Herkov, can be identified by the following symptoms. So these are the symptoms to look out for. Willingness to take risks, having many sexual partners, disruption of home life to enable one's compulsions, making sex the highest priority in life, falling behind on other responsibilities. A sex addict depends on sex to numb or to escape pain, just like with any other type of addiction. This can make them compulsively look for sex outside of the relationship with no guarantee that they'll enjoy it. Someone who is addicted to cheating, however, will not have the same compulsive need for sex necessarily. They may be addicted to the self-esteem boost, the distraction, the excitement, and it can be a slippery slope. Some people start with sexting, then it becomes physical. So it's very important to address it if you feel that you are suffering with a cheating addiction or sex addiction, because the harm is the same. Whether a person has been sexting or a person has been physically having sex with someone, the pain to your partner is similar. It's a shattering experience where a person completely often loses themselves and goes into a very dark place for some time. And they also need a great deal of support to be able to get themselves back onto enjoying their life and being the best version of themselves. That being said, there are people who cheat driven by selfishness or entitlement, where the cheater has little to no remorse, where they feel that because their husband or wife isn't giving them sex or attention or appreciation, they can do what they want. And whilst those that have sought my help through the Breakthrough Program, they have all suffered with people-pleasing and low self-worth and unhappiness in themselves, that may not be representative, of course, of all cheating addicts, because maybe it's a different kind of cheating addict that will seek help. Of course, it's very difficult to get the data on this subject. A selfish cheater is different. A selfish cheater believes, I deserve what I want and I don't care who it hurts. I'm entitled. Entitlement causes misery for the person and those around them. When you believe you're entitled to better treatment than others, or that rules don't apply to you, or that you aren't getting what you're owed in a relationship, it will cause conflict, unhappiness, and destructive behaviours like cheating. I have had some women share with me before that they felt they were entitled to cheat because their husband is working and didn't give them enough attention. Or men where their wife was not having sex with them because they were pregnant or they were not feeling very good for a long period of time, and so the men justified their actions. These excuses are very worrying to me, and unless the person is willing to change that, I wouldn't work with them. Because entitlement is fairly narcissistic. Entitlement is saying, I don't really see that there's a problem with what I've done. And if someone doesn't see a problem with what they've done, if there's absolutely no remorse, no regret, no empathy for their partner, then they're not right to work with me. So if you do want to change, it's making sure that if you do have an entitlement mentality, you're ready to let that go. There is a healthy, safe way to express your needs in a relationship, to discuss them, to say and set your boundaries, rather than to go and cheat. The first step in recovery of any addiction is admitting that you have an addiction. Admitting that it's causing negative consequences. And then with that, admitting that it's a struggle to stop the behaviour by yourself. Many people feel or think that I'll manage it. I love my partner so much, I will not do it again. I've seen the damaging consequences that it can have on my whole life. I won't do it again. Unfortunately, the power that an addiction has over someone can make them do things that they really don't want to do. It can lead them to repeating behaviour that they absolutely hate afterwards. And that's what an addiction is. It's where you completely are unable to stop yourself, even though you really want to. It's a hook, and your mind, your body can take you back to that same place of cheating. If you're struggling and you're really ready to make changes, if you want to get to the root of it, I'd be so happy to have an introduction call with you. You can book that through my website, nicolabeer.com, to see if you're a fit for my breakthrough program, to see if we would suit each other working together. I'd be so happy to have that call with you and see. And do stay tuned for the next podcast, where I'm going to be sharing some more tips and what you can do to help your partner heal, to create change for yourself. And if you're listening to this because you have been cheated on multiple times and you're feeling lost, like a fool, overwhelmed, really down on yourself, really unsure what to do, I'm going to be sharing some tips for you too. I'll share with you now that it is nothing to do with you when someone is a cheating addict, and that you are worthy of a loving, supportive, exclusive relationship if that's what you want. I will also share with you that you are not a fool. It is not a negative thing to see the good in others, to give people a chance and to trust. I'll share more about this in the next podcast. For now, thank you for listening. Please do join the Facebook group if you would like further information and support on addiction, on cheating support, on having a great relationship. It's a loving community. People post their questions either by their own name or anonymously and get their most pressing questions answered very quickly. I will answer every single question in there. So you will hear from me directly, and it'll be nice to have a more closer connection with you. From my heart to yours, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Check out the award-winning audio programs. Visit www.nicolabeer.com today.